This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. Dave Schwann mentioned the fact that out in Naperville, the last fling, the JC's ceremonies going on, the kind of the celebration of the last fling of spring. And I know that Governor Rauner is supposed to be marching in the last fling parade. And I brought to mind in 1999, actually 2000, we had as guests at the last fling were George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. And it was out at the tennis courts at Naperville North High School where then Governor Bush didn't realize that his microphone was open when he used a derogatory term to describe a New York Times reporter that he saw in the crowd, to which Cheney responded, "Big time." And over the years, the then President Bush never apologized to the reporter. He just apologized that everybody heard the remark. So that's my best memory of the last fling parade. And so beware of those open microphones, because you never know what can happen. Joining me now on the phone is Greg Bays, and Greg is the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Greg, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Rick, how are you today?
I'm very good. I'm very good. A happy Labor Day holiday to you.
Same to you. Your story about President Bush, rather tame of what candidates say about reporters these days.
Well, let's just say that my response to it was that I had some baseball jerseys printed up representing the Major League A's, okay? And we'll just leave it at that.
Right.
Well, Greg, I wanted to have you on because I know you spoke last week to the City Club of Chicago, and I know you kind of called it a wake-up call, but to me it almost sounded like a cry for help about what's going on with Illinois' manufacturing economy. And I know, and we've talked in the past, just a general frustration about manufacturing being a casualty too of the lack of certainty when it comes to the state's economy and the state's budget.
Well, it was a wake up call in the speech. I talked about it being a shout from the rooftop for the very very reason that you're talking about, that the jobs are and have been leaving since 2000, that time period of President Bush's remarks. We've lost 304,000 manufacturing jobs in this state. That's a lot of families disrupted. It's a lot of people's future uncertain. The state's fiscal health has certainly deteriorated. And in fact, this morning your own newscast used a commercial brought to you by Indiana, a state that works. You know, when you and I got in this business back in the latter part of the last of the century, you would have laughed at the notion that Indiana was a better place for business in general or manufacturing specifically. And that's what's occurred. And so I did talk about that we do need to be looking at this, because it's a destruction of the middle class in this state. It's a destruction of the middle class's future. And without it, the kinds of problems I think that we see in the city of Chicago, in towns like Rock Island or Peoria, will continue to grow, because those disappearing manufacturing jobs were the backbone of the middle class in those areas.
How much of those losses, though, represent just kind of the transitioning of the United States into part of the global economy?
It is. There's no doubt that that's a portion of it, that automation, innovation, manufacturers are at their best in figuring out ways to do more, be able to produce more product, be able to compete with other places around the world, in China or Mexico or Southeast Asia. So it's that is a part of it, there is no doubt. But really, the numbers do tell you, though, that we're falling behind, because since the recession of the 08-09 time period, we have seen that other states, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, all of them are creating manufacturing jobs. I mean, 171,000 jobs have been created in Michigan, almost 80,000 in Ohio. Illinois, 4,900. As I said in my speech, even Idaho had created more manufacturing jobs in the same time period. They created 9,400, a state known for its potato production, for goodness sakes. Illinois has got a lot of systemic problems. You talk about them every Sunday, and those are the kinds of things that are causing manufacturing jobs not to be created here.
Even in citing those figures from other states, though, from 2000, aren't all those states down in numbers of manufacturers?
But not nearly in the numbers that we are down. The numbers are less striking in those states. And everybody went through a very difficult period when the great recession that we had. So what I point out is why is Illinois not rebounding? Why is Illinois not being able to get back? We have better natural assets than those states. Our location is obviously a great asset. Our ability to get product in and out of this area is a great asset. Our workforce has been a great asset in the past. The ability to train workers for the jobs that we have in the manufacturing sector, but we're not getting them created, and we can get into some of those reasons, but I think the overall direction of this state for the last decade and a half has been very harmful to business in general and manufacturing in particular.
You know, one thing, and we'll talk about what you see as some of the systemic problems, but I had a Republican candidate for Congress on last week who's a businessman and was an emphatic supporter of Donald Trump as a businessman, wanting to bring a businessman's mindset to Washington. But I also pointed out that, you know, after you look at when I talk to most businessmen, is that they want some kind of at least certainty. They may not like the regulations, they may not like the taxes, but at least they know what they're dealing with. And as far as Donald Trump, there's all kinds of uncertainty, but that's kind of what exists in Illinois.
Well, Governor Rauner's first person to come along in the last decade and a half to say, hey, we've got to change direction. What we're doing is not working. And the governor has outlined solutions that we support. The workers' comp legislation that he's pushing is a good first start. Trying to get our fiscal house in order would be a tremendous start. And also realizing that the $100 billion pension debt that hangs over this state has to be addressed. We clearly have had our state's judicial system tell us that the way that the Constitution is constructed, that the solutions that have not been put forth are past constitutional muster. Well, then two things got to happen. One, we have got to pass a bill that slows down the growth of this monster because it's now eating up over 20% of our state's general revenue fund. And two, if words that were written in 1970 are causing an inability to be able to change it, then leaders on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, should come together and figure out what we must do. Now, you have people listening to this that's going to say, oh, all you want to do are cut benefits and take things away from people. No, that's not what we're saying. What has to be done is, for example, the 3% increase in the state's pension obligation every year is something that is really driving this train right into the ditch. We have got to change that and tie it to Social Security as an example, a CPI increase that would slow down that growth. That's just one of the things that's going to have to be done. But we can't even get to those solutions because of words that were written in 1970. So that's the kind of thing that I think both sides of the aisle have to recognize. We cannot allow it to bankrupt this state.
We're speaking with Greg Bays, the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. Joining me on the phone is Greg Bays. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. We're talking about the state of Illinois' manufacturing economy. Greg, you touched on one of the things that the IMA has long supported, and that's changes in workers' compensation. What exactly are you looking for here?
Workers' comp cost in Illinois is the seventh highest in the nation, and the cost of this particular program, which is there to make sure that an injured worker receives the appropriate medical care, and also if the loss of the use of a body part takes place, that they're fairly compensated. We're not by any means advocating a diminishment of that particular goal. The problem has come in is that Illinois has allowed the medical providers of this state to be able to charge higher rates. For example, if a carpal tunnel operation on a Medicare standard will cost about $2,500 to $3,000. And under workers' compensation, that cost, that same operation, rises to $8,000. If you or I have an injury that causes the loss of the use of your arm, as an example, in Illinois, you would be compensated and for that benefit, or to be able to fairly compensate you, would be $460,000. The national average is $168,000. All we're really calling for is that Illinois should come into the median, into the middle with the rest of the nation, to lower those costs. There's probably not one particular issue when a company is making a decision, and they use a lot of them, and it's not the only one, but it is at the top of the list that workers' compensation costs in Illinois are higher, and therefore a detriment of us being able to either, one, keep a business when it's expanding, or two, to attract a new business to this part of this, to Illinois. It's just a fact, and the people who oppose those changes are those very same people who are feeding off of the system, trial lawyers, medical professionals. Those are the folks that fight it all the time. And we have to be able to come and sit with the leaders of the General Assembly, and we have made some progress in the last few years. Look those special interests into their eye and say, look, enough, we have got to bring this into a reasonable area, and that's what we're calling for.
Now, there were changes that I believe were passed in 2011, and Democrats point out that in looking at even reports from the Rauner administration, that insurance rates should be lower for employers than what they actually are, and that part of the problem they see is on the insurance side.
Well, the insurers have to be making sure that they pass along those savings, but the argument falls apart when you have large employers who are self-insured who are not charging themselves over and above what should be paid for, do not see the decreases coming and have not seen the decreases coming along. You must remember a workers' comp injury is anywhere from a 6 to 7 year time period that it may take for that to be adjudicated. And so 2011 to where we are in 2016, we believe that those rates should start reflecting those changes, but we do need to go further. I'm not here to defend insurance companies. If we see or we think that they are not passing those savings along to employers, we'll be standing on the soapbox talking about them as well.
I want to go back to kind of the issue of, you know, what actually is manufacturing today. And, you know, from my generation, I think of the big Caterpillar and the auto companies, those kinds of things, and the evolution to, I guess, advanced manufacturing that mm-hmm. people talk about today. And, you know, here again, I think it's a generational thing, isn't it?
Well, manufacturing is still an important component of the Illinois economy and the nation's economy. In Illinois, it's about 12.5% of the state's GDP. Frankly, it's about the same percentage as it was 15 years ago. It shows that innovation and technology and the ability of manufacturers to produce more product with less is occurring. But manufacturing, I mean, you read the Chicago Tribune today talking about the young people looking for opportunities to be trained and get into the workforce.
Well, I was going to ask you, how much of this is about, you know, that there may be jobs out there? It's just the lack of training that exists.
There are jobs out there. In fact, the National Association of Manufacturers say that there are 600,000 manufacturing jobs vacant every day because of the lack of a skilled workforce. And it is truly a problem. And the other problem we have going on, Rick, as our generation, the baby boomers, start to retire and are retiring in mass numbers, we in Illinois need to replace 5,000 engineers a year and nearly 30,000 production workers each year just from retirements, let alone from those jobs that are created. So the IMA is working with community colleges and with our lawmakers and looking for programs to how to promote more opportunities, do more training for young people that are not going to matriculate to a normal four-year college situation, and try to follow like the Germans do. Look for more apprenticeship programs. We're sponsoring an apprenticeship program right now, looking for 600 apprentices to place into manufacturing facilities around the state, so the young people can have that opportunity to begin working in the manufacturing facility. You and I remember a time in an era when a lot of folks just came off the farm, came from the cities, and were able to walk up to the front door and be hired. Those days are gone. You have to have the ability to understand the machinery that's in a manufacturing facility. Soft skills need to be taught as well in order to understand that being someplace at 7 o'clock in the morning means 7 a.m. in the morning. You have the ability to work with other people. Those are all things that many of this generation have not been taught and have to be taught to work in the workplace today.
You talk about kind of these programs with community colleges, and, you know, certainly we've heard people talk for years about trying to work with community colleges and stress kind of these partnerships and vocational training. But is it really happening? Because it still seems to be part of the political discourse whenever a presidential candidate goes and visits a community college.
No, it is happening. We have examples all across Illinois in the community college system, working with local employers, working with local high schools, in being able to provide college hours for kids in high school, working with their local manufacturers and what kind of skills are necessary for what we need. Harper Community College, as an example, is doing a fabulous job up in Palatine, along with the Palatine High School, and working with our local manufacturers up there. And those are the kinds of success stories we need to spread, and they are all around the state. There are just not as many of them as there should be.
And a lot of, put this on our plate of priorities here in Illinois.
We've got a lot of them, Rick. There's no doubt about it. In fact, I sort of enjoyed that we haven't talked about the other problems this morning. And let's don't start now.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Greg Bays, President and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Greg, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Rick.
We'll be back with more right after this.